All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and call the Charlestown Town Commissioner meeting to order. It's January 24th at 6 p.m. at Town Hall. In Town Hall is Commissioner Fields and President Fockler. Joining us online by Zoom is Commissioner Wood. We're still waiting for Commissioner Elmer to pop in, but Ms. Commissioner Capano is not going to make it this evening. So, first item on the agenda, Ms. Lutz, if you think we can put the links.
Indivisible liberty and justice.
So, first item on the agenda is the minutes, but we're going to hold on that because we do not have a quorum to vote on that.
I can't.
That's right, because Commissioner Wood at the last meeting. So we'll wait for Commissioner Elmer for that and come back to it. Next item on the agenda is the accounts payable review.
We don't have nothing I need to bring away.
Well, this is for this call.
What am I thinking? Sorry.
Thanks to the
already on.
Okay. Accounts payable.
It'd be 71,727.32.
It's a combination of the two. What's the total, Madam Clerk?
71,727.32.
What's that, Lou?
I was asking what the total was.
It's $71,727.32.
I make a motion to approve the accounts payable in that amount.
I'll second it.
We have a motion by Commissioner Wood, second by Commissioner Fields. All in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Accounts payable is approved.
Aye.
Next item on the agenda is some old business, and we have, of course, the zoning ordinance has been being worked on for quite some time. So, Mr. Leitner, you want to bring us up to speed on?
Yeah, so the commissioners have in their packets the updated changes to the zoning ordinance, Chapter 175, as well as revised amendment to the pet ordinance, which was passed in 2009, so that we could add a whole section on permitting chickens in town. So I know the Planning Commission worked long and hard on the zoning ordinance, probably at least 2 to 3 year process. And again, I'm not going to go in there. So the latest version that you have in your packets tonight was actually reviewed by our town attorney.
So this just, the latest just came out. So, and these are the recommendations by the
Planning Commission plus the town attorney. So
to be reviewed by town commissioners and then discussed. Now we have to have a period of a public comment on that as well.
We have to schedule a public hearing.
Because I have not reviewed the latest and greatest as of yet. Jeff, I don't know if you.
I've reviewed got the chicken one. That was a new one.
Okay. Have you? So
I have looked at the other ones. Yes. Well, I looked at them before they went to him. So right. Yes.
And there are some additional changes.
Not many.
I'd like to go over them again though before we vote on it.
But perhaps we can go ahead and get the public comment scheduled.
Yeah, public hearing.
Yes.
Yeah, let's get that scheduled up, and then these will be available for the public to review in the interim.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, what dates are we looking at? Now, we don't have our next meeting is going to be the 14th.
Right. So we were trying to eye up in between February 14th and the 28th. So, maybe that week of the 20th.
The week of the 20th. So, the 21st is the 21st is not available, right?
Yeah.
That's the candidates forum. So how about the 22nd? Wednesday, the 22nd?
And that's February.
February. What do you think? Are you okay with that?
Fine. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Lou, are you fine with that?
That's fine.
So yep. February 22nd at what, 6 p.m.?
6 p.m.
Fire hall. And we'll check with the fire hall to confirm that.
Yep.
Yeah, make sure it's open.
All right. Well, that will cover that. Yes, ma'am. Were you going to
say something? Is there any way that we could do it on the same night, bringing the people out twice?
I don't want to.
Do you think?
You're right. I have a public comment, and then but our next meeting will be the 28th, so it's not like there's that long of a period in between. So, okay,
yeah, no, you're good. I'm sorry. Okay.
Great. All right, next item on the agenda is an update on the backup generator costs for the pump stations and the as well as the water tower facility.
Yeah, AECOM gave us cost estimates for our two water wells, as well as our two sewage pump stations, as well as our water tower and the water treatment component of the system. And it's pretty good to have that as a foundation, because it lays out when they did their water and sewer study for the town back in 2014, they had identified a number of components that needed replacing for the wells and the water treatment plant, as well as the pump stations. And really, so this round, they just, you know, again, we have that comprehensive background of what needs updating and replacing. They just basically updated the costs associated with replacement. In the packets,
yeah, I do.
Itemized by well one, and next is well two.
Well two, yeah.
And then the water treatment plant, and then the two sewage pump stations, Avalon Park and Veterans Park. And yeah, see the summary sheet, I guess, there.
I'm looking at the summary sheet.
Of course, that's preparing, as well as electrical plans that a licensed electrician would have to follow for an installation. They did include diesel-powered generators, which you'll see the second cost estimate that we received from D&D Electrical Services. There was, again, they just looked at installing generators for well one and well two and the two sewage pump stations, not for the water treatment plant. There's already a generator there operated by Verizon. For the antenna on top of the tower, so I'm trying to partner with them to see if we can tie into that. But the last page of the cost estimates there is just diesel versus propane for powering these generators. The Generac manufacturer states the base price for a generator, and we'll just use as an example the biggest one that we need, which is for the Avalon Park sewage pump station. Base price is $25,000. That's the 22 kilowatt model. And that is, that would be us paying separately the hookup to a propane tank power. Okay. But they said if we wanted to go with the diesel notion, it was under the price, basically, they get $50,000 for a diesel powered generator. So assuming we pay for the connection to the propane tank and all the service and annual maintenance that goes along with propane, it's going to be less expensive than diesel.
Propane, well,
yeah. Correct.
Is that for the same size machine? Thank you, kilowatt.
Yeah. Yeah. So for everybody's edification, the estimate that AECOM provided was a well one for generator and well two, it'd be $100,000 each. With a water treatment plant, $120,000. For the Avalon pump station, $135,000, and Veterans Park pump station, $150,000. which is blows my mind, to be honest with you. Or what's that, 1, 2, 3, 5? You know, $600,000 for
backup generator. Yeah.
Now we've gotten a couple other estimates.
We've only got one cost estimate now from D&D Electrical Services for. So we asked them to itemize this because we originally was all just one lump sum. It's itemized now for labor and materials. So, I mean, I can run through them. Well, one is $16,000. Well, two is $14,000. Veterans Park pump stations, $11,000. And Avalon Park substations, $38,000. And that's labor materials. We still have to pay for the connection with equipment.
And site preparation with
that's included. Site preparation is included, as well as getting the permits.
Well, it's basically everything except for the hookup to the propane, right? Which you need a gas company to come out and do that, right? And they're saying you're saying $31,000 for the generator, $25,000.
So there's four generators there. Right. It'd be $38,000 for the one that Avalon.
Right.
$11,000 for the veterans. $16,000 for well one. $15,000 for well two.
So we're talking a lot less if we buy the equipment ourselves and have even have D&D.
Just comparing D&D
right.
Yes.
A lot less. Yes. More than half almost. That's a big difference. I'm telling you, it pays to shop around and stuff like this. I'm telling you.
It's not comparing apples to apples in the sense that ACOM, being an engineer, they thought that we should have construction plans to follow.
Right.
Or electrical.
I understand.
We're doing the work. Whereas a licensed electrician is just confident enough to grab the materials and hook it up and put it together.
It's a backup generator. I mean, it's for emergencies. That's basically what we're looking at. Catastrophic loss of electric for a long time.
Don't get me wrong, we want them to work.
Yeah, we do. But I don't see the difference in the price between diesel and propane is like outrageous. And diesel fuel goes bad if you don't keep it. Propane doesn't. Most of the time, it can leak out. I mean, don't get me wrong, but almost all the backup generators I've ever seen has had propane. They've used propane mostly. I mean, I could be wrong. When it comes to big ones like hospitals or things like that.
So I'm not a generator or an electrical guy, but does D&D believe, I notice that his generator is 18 kilowatts versus, and it's, the price of that looks to be about 85 or 7,200 or something to that effect. Meanwhile, ACOM has recommended a 50 kilowatt generator, the cost of 31,000.
And that was just, 50 kilowatt was diesel powered. That was just, from an electrician standpoint, I asked him this. It's over.
Just way overkill.
I don't know if it's overkill, but it's over what's needed. And there's nothing wrong with being over.
Yeah.
But this electrician looked at all four sites and looked at the components, pumps and motors, and said, if you're okay with these size generators. Basically, three out of the four are smaller generators. Mm-hmm. It's just the one out of that one that's bigger.
You need to just include putting a concrete pad in too, right? We don't have to do that, right? I know we discussed that we might be able to do that in-house, right? Right.
Yeah. As well as getting all these materials.
Right.
An itemized list, but once you see that itemized list,
it's kind of a lot. I know. Maybe with something like this, you might be better off just let the contractor do it. I mean, that way, it's everything, it's there. There's a big difference between ACOM and getting them ourselves, though, it seems to me. Like, I don't know, Carl feels the same way.
The grand total for D&D looks to be about, it looks $38,750.
That's just for one.
You're right. I'm sorry. That's just for Avalon.
$81,000
for everything.
For everything. Compared to $600,000. Not even close.
And I know there was one more estimate, somebody was going to submit, but we haven't received that yet.
Right. Yeah, just the cost of the labor. If we would get all these materials,
right.
And we'd have to do the site prep and get the permits,
which we'd rather not do. So I don't know if anybody wants any. Have you checked in D&D's up to snuff? And
yeah, and good. We've done work with them in the past.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if we want to take a vote on this, I mean, we've certainly talked about getting these generators installed for quite some time, and I think it's a good thing to have the backup for obviously for Avalon, for the sewer pump station, and certainly for our wells.
Ryan, I'm not being competitive, but what's the grand total again for all of the sites?
Roughly.
Okay,
just I didn't add it up, but it's about 81,000.
Okay, well, I need the total so I can make a commercial.
Yeah, 600,000.
Yeah, I knew I got that. I was 81
for D&D.
81. I need those.
So, do we only need a generator on one pump if there's emergency and electric goes out?
The problem is, I mean, I wouldn't mind having generators on all the pumps, because we're recommissioning well two. Right, we're recommissioning We're recommissioning well one so that we can alternate them and exercise them, because we should be, but we haven't been for all this time.
Right.
And it's, you know, in my book, it's kind of about redundancy and that, you know, it's just a safeguard, you know. And I don't see these prices don't mind me too much. Now, if you were talking about
600,000
for well one and well two, you're talking about,
yeah,
looks like 12,000 to 15,000
compared to 100
each, as opposed to, you know, 100 to 100 and some thousand for AECOM, which was for each well.
120 for the water treatment, 135 for Avalon, and 150 for Vestry.
I mean, just like, you know, we don't know what may happen, you know, at any given time. So this way, we'll have two good wells, and the chances of both of them going out, you know, at the same time is probably pretty slim, but yeah, we have backup.
Well, the backup's only for the electric and power outage, right?
We keep it running. Power goes out. That's correct.
So, I mean, if you were on and the electric goes out, pump, it's a matter of switching a pump over. If you only had electric, a generator on one of those pumps,
right,
on, say, well one,
right,
and you're using well two at that time,
right,
wouldn't it be a simple switch over to well one during the power outage?
What if, and this is just to say, what if well one goes bad or well two goes bad? So we'd rather have,
well, it's after so long, nice
to have a generator on both so that you wouldn't have to, you know, you wouldn't have to sweat it. It would just be,
that's my opinion. What if one's not exhausted long, you know, you want to have the other one to switch the other one on, right? If one, there's only so much of a spot for backup for propane,
right?
Once you run that out, you'd like to have another one you could turn back on.
The town engineer recommended, and Lou, I don't mean to cut you off, but just real quick, the town engineer recommended that you don't just back up one, back all of them.
All of them up.
You kind of, we hate to plan for it, but you plan for the worst case scenario. We lose power for 2 weeks,
right?
And to your point, I mean, we hope we have enough propane tank, right? Propane in the tank when it happens.
Right. Yeah, those things come on.
Back to like the,
they usually come on like once a week just to keep them on.
Go ahead, Lou.
That's all I was going to say, was we should be planning for the worst and always pray for the better, but we need to get all four done. And my motion is to go ahead, and I don't have the exact number in front of me, but my motion would be to go ahead with the purchase of all four.
Now, I just calculated, it's 81,000.
I'm sorry, what was
the amount for the four generators, installation, and materials is $81,085.
All right. And then in the amount of $81,085 with D&D electrical services, which is a far cry from that 600.
She's trying to make a motion right now.
So I have a motion by Commissioner Wood to proceed with D&D for the installation of generators on the various wells and pump out stations for a total of $81,085, and a second by Commissioner Fields. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Did you aye, Lou? Lou?
Yes.
I know it's your motion.
Why?
Did you say aye?
Yes, I said.
Very good. Okay. Well, the motion carries.
Can I add one more thing to that before we move on? Is this qualified for the PPP money? The COVID money, I mean, COVID money? Yeah. Is this something we could spend it on?
Well, I think it's certainly
the utility. Yes.
Okay. If I go back to our budget for this year, I think we had allocated maybe $50,000.
Okay.
Water
system. Okay.
That's just off the top of my head. Okay. So that would pay for some.
Sure. I was just wondering, because we have the paper funds, something ideally we could use that's going to benefit the town for years to come, right? So, all right, that's all I want to say.
Very good. Next item, Brian, is the update on the e-camera contract that we talked about.
Yeah, so I had a nice conversation with Mike Fallon from Altamint after our meeting. Remember, we looked at that agreement that he had given us, and we were like, $12 a lookup fee. What's that mean? That's kind of, I know I was confused. So in the packet, I guess there's a couple things before I go through the outline. Need you guys to call your attention to Cool Springs and Pagosa.
I'm going to bring that up online for everybody. I don't know if that's possible or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Half a mile really goes a long way. Now that you put them on paper, it really, yeah. You guys want to look at this? Anybody want to look at this?
He's going to bring that up.
I don't know if anyone would look at it real fast or not.
Pulling up the speed camera details.
It's yellow, it's the half mile. So it really brings it into perspective how far it goes out there. I was surprised. I didn't think it was going to be very far from the school.
Yeah.
Now that we look at it on paper, it looks a lot different.
Yeah, because it's as the crow flies.
That's correct. It's definitely a big radius, a lot bigger than I thought. It definitely makes me reconsider what I was thinking last time. You know what I'm saying?
It'd be nice if they got up
there. Yeah.
But we can do legislation.
Yeah.
Still working on that, Brian, or we can.
I almost got it shared. Sorry. Looks in Zoom land.
So it's the yellow line is the half mile mark, yeah. And that shows you how far you can put the speed camera away from the school. It goes all the way through the old part of town. That's for sure. I was surprised.
Yes.
Right, that's the area they can cover by law, yes. The yellow line, yeah.
Yes.
New packets too is a state law that Mike shared with me. So that kind of stipulates
right. How
speed cameras can be right. Used to
parallel. Right. Yeah, I'm sure there's regulations on it.
All this map is showing is it's got to, the speed camera when they're put up, they gotta be within a half a mile of it.
Hey Jeff and Brian. Yeah, I'm glad you put there though, because when people were saying that, they were like, oh well, that's only like a couple blocks away from the school. And I was like, no, it's not. So I'm glad you have this up there to give people the actual lowdown, because people were using that then saying, well, it doesn't help us at all.
Right.
And I was like, no,
bad. It covers a big area. It covers all the old part of town.
Yeah.
For sure.
All of it.
Just to use it, we use it. Example, because like Mike talking, you may need the Charlestown's needs. You know, one of the questions that had come up about speed cameras was, hey, can we use these to like take pictures of folks who run stop signs?
Yeah,
sure. Apparently state law doesn't allow that.
Doesn't allow that, exactly.
And we had Mike collect data for us at two different points in town. One was right next to the school along Baltimore Street. And then the other was at cursor is up at Cool Springs and Pagosa. Now we knew when we placed that camera up there at Cool Springs and Pagosa, it was outside of the half mile radius.
Sure, sure.
Right. We knew that.
Right.
But it was just to collect some data up there because we received speeding complaints from folks in Trinity Woods.
Right.
I mean, it's been all over
town. Sure. Sure.
And you know, if we ever want to create a little bit of an argument as to why half mile radius isn't enough.
Right. We have the data. We already have the data.
Right.
Better than nothing. It's better than nothing.
We're going to use Cool Springs and Pagosa as an example. I'm going to go back in the packet here. And I'm going to try to zoom out so you can kind of see the report that we got. There was a week that the camera was put up at that location. And you know, there's a difference in enforceable violations.
And I want you to go straight. Right.
There's a difference in enforceable violations. The limit was 15 versus 25. Right. Currently, speed limit is 25.
Right.
We want to do a speed study. Right. We want to create a justification why town roads in Charlestown should be 15 and not 25.
Right.
But that's a separate thing.
Yeah.
Right now.
Thank you.
In a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit zone. And that week, you know, from November 29th till December 5th, they only captured 10
violations,
right.
Just as an example, right? So let me run through the outline real quick, just so that we're all on the same page. You know, we're understanding a little bit more about these speed cameras. It's $40 a ticket, right, if you get caught by one of these things.
Right.
How it's determined if you're caught is you're going 12 miles per hour over the posted speed limit. So digging a little deeper right. into that process, the sheriff's office would have to review on a website that Altimint would create photos of each violation and approve them. Basically, what they're looking for is, you know, is it clear? Can you see the license plate number? You know, it might take 5 to 10 seconds to review each photo, but you know, during their shift, presumably, this would be kind of a new task for them.
Right, right.
Right. Review these speed camera photos. Once they're approved, you know, obviously, Altimint and FDA, Motor Vehicle Administration, will follow up with the tickets in the mail.
Okay.
Now, as far as the fee structure goes, remember that $12 lookup fee?
I remember that.
I was confused about some of the.
Same here.
They would basically send us a monthly invoice, like most vendors do. Using this Cool Springs location as an example, I'll go back to the 15 mile per hour one. That $12 lookup fee would apply for each enforceable violation. Now, what they're saying is, you know, over a week of usage, especially after we would advertise this program and people would know there's a camera there, we probably would get about half that.
Right.
Right. That's the 184, right? So if we just do the math of $12 per 184 violations, that's about $2,200. That's for 1 week. So a month, that monthly invoice we get would be about $8,800. Now, on the flip side, as far as, I know this is all about public safety and we're not doing this because of revenue, but the revenue side is, you know, if it's $40 a ticket and there's 184 violations, well, that's $7,300. Altimint says, and I think they're right on this one, you know, we have a lot of Delaware and Pennsylvania folks. Right? And I think it's tougher for the MVA to get those folks to pay these speed camera tickets.
Right.
So they say, you know, multiply that number by 70%. So we would anticipate.
Right.
184 violations, you know, $5,000 roughly. But sorry, that's weekly. You multiply that by four and you're at 20,000. So again, I'm not saying this is a revenue generator for the town, but I think you can easily see that this would not cost the town anything. Speaking, essentially.
We haven't talked to the sheriff yet about what their fee would be for reviewing this.
There is no fee. They can't charge us.
You don't think they can charge us for reviewing speech?
Carl, they can't charge us a fee to... No. No, they can't charge us because they're already working for us. They're already charging us a fee to work for us.
Well, we need to touch
base. This would be part of their duty.
We need to touch base with them and find out how that would be structured.
And Lou, you remember, we were talking about amending that agreement with the sheriff's office anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Tickets and whatnot. We want copies of.
Absolutely.
I think it's worth.
Of our papers and.
Yep.
Yep.
I think it's
worth. I agree with you.
About speed cameras as well, you know.
That kind of suggestion. Going to have public comment on.
It's like people. Is the one that you have up on there, the third one down, the fastest speed was 65 miles per hour going through a development with all children.
8%, yep.
And if you don't think we need these, think twice. And we still have it going on, and there are numerous complaints now again that we're facing, and I've given them to the sheriff's department and everything over and over again just this week. So, and we've had a bus. I mean, come on, let's face it, folks, we're not hiding anymore. It seems like it's followed us now when we have a bus crash, and then the person that takes over that bus route decides to run stop signs and everything else the next day. So we really need these cameras. I can't see any downside to them other than, you know, we talk about how to make money for the town. Well, here is a way to make money for the town. And why have the sheriff's office come in here and write tickets that goes to the state of Maryland? That money doesn't come to us. It goes to the state of Maryland.
True.
Why not have them just sit there and review that come to the town of Charlestown? But that's how I feel about it.
Brian, what else do you have to share about our conversations, your conversations with?
Just the last thing on the outline is that these speed cameras, they run year round from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, which I guess is also in the state law. So they don't do weekends.
During school hours, or not during school hours.
All year round.
6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay.
All year round and the summertime stuff.
Right. It's not weekend.
So, did the agreement go to Brother Bestie yet?
Yep. Yeah, town attorney's reviewing it, and we haven't had any feedback yet. So yeah, I think okay. Some of those terms, you know, maybe
we'd rather have the full form.
So like that. I think we need to touch base with the sheriff's department, okay. And they certainly know about we're looking into this and find out exactly how that will be structured with them. And then also, I'm not sure we need to touch base with the courts or not. I remember that coming up as well. Did you talk to our buddy at Ultimate about that?
About the role of
the courts? Yeah.
If someone doesn't pay their
speed camera ticket. Not about that. Let's talk to the sheriff.
Carl, I'll talk.
There.
We'll have a meeting, Mike, and maybe even just ask George to come to the meeting, Stanko. And we'll find out what we have to do.
It's my understanding that Ultimate's being.
I mean, if we have to go up to the court. Yes.
So they're working with the sheriff's office currently. So Okay. All right. Yeah. Anything else on that? Any more comments on regarding the speed cameras? No.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I was thinking that we're going to have a public comment on the 22nd. Why can't we add this to it? No? Nothing you don't want to bring up to the public? Or?
You got enough to cover on.
Okay. Things. Okay. All right. All right. That's all I'm going to say.
And people comment on public comment.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda is the Artesian meeting follow-up.
Yeah. So we met with the Artesian folks about their well number 5 that's proposed just outside of town limits there. Just west of the there's a cell tower just southwest of the intersection of Route 7 and Baltimore Street. And we're concerned, rightfully so, about potential interference from their well, because that well is part of a system that feeds the development in Principia Business Park, which is growing. We're worried about potential interference with our drinking water, our wells. And part of the conversation we had with them was, if the state MDE approves their permit to withdraw, say, 2 million gallons a day, and their permit's good for 12 years. And we noticed one day, Monday morning, noticed that our well's dry. our water tower supply is going down because there's no water to pump up from our portion of the aquifer. What kind of guardrails we could be put in place that would kind of tell us, how we might handle that scenario, right? And Artesian said, we might be able to work out an agreement with the town of Charlestown. If you can prove to us that, we're the ones sucking your wells dry, which I understand that perspective, right? I guess when we're systems, we're a public system, they're a private system, but we're kind of sharing the same aquifer. I think there's rules to follow, and state rules certainly give some guidelines, but there is no guideline unless we can create a case that says, we understand the geology going on in our aquifer, and we need this sort of protection, not just maybe an agreement with Artesian, but a condition of MDE's permit. It says if this scenario happens, here's what Charlestown will do to document it, and here's what Artesian would do to fix it. So what's in your meeting packet tonight is just that the professional geologist with Scott Stevenson and Fields and Derek Fingal, who's helping us install the transducers into our wells to help monitor water levels that are in them currently. Well, it'll be good for us to just, as a best practice for a drinking water system anyway, to know how they're functioning over time, start collecting some long-term data. They're proposing for us to consider a couple different things, so that we understand our aquifer a little bit better and to help protect us in case of that scenario down the road where we notice some kind of unreasonable impact, I'll say, from Artesian's well. So what they're proposing to do, this is a cost estimate not to exceed $5,000. Review all the studies that have been done in our aquifer up to date. One thing we learned from Artesian is they still don't necessarily have mapped everything that they've come to discover, and some things they've learned about the geology and aquifer that we're in, they've just discovered by drilling wells and conducting flow tests and whatnot. So this proposal, which would include some of that information that's available, as well as delineating for us, we already have, you guys remember, in the previous district, they created zones 1 and 2 around our wells so that we can start to think about how we can best protect our water source. Well, there's a zone 3, which is a little bit further, and our aquifer is kind of moved up near 95 is the fall line. The geology kind of changes, right? It goes from Piedmont to coastal plain. And right there at the fall line, kind of just north of Route 40, our particular aquifer has got a clay lens on top of it. So we don't get a lot of recharge here in town, but supposedly near the fall line, we can get recharge in those areas that basically come under our clay lens that affects our water. So what happens up near Principia Business Park could ultimately impact both our system and artesian system. Artesian's obviously providing water for the Principia Business Park. Now, when I say impacts, I'm thinking about, you know, the warehouses and the parking lots and the stormwater facilities that are required to be installed as treating them. Could those stormwater facilities kind of get into our groundwater is what we're concerned about. We want to do a little bit more analysis. You know, if we delineate these areas where that recharge could happen, we can start talking to the county, ideally, about what we can do to protect both of our drinking water sources. You know, and as an example, protection would be, you know, those stormwater facilities can't infiltrate into the recharge area. So as an example. And really what's going to be key for us as we start monitoring the level, the water levels in our wells, Artesian's going to be doing the same thing for their wells.
Yeah.
That we kind of create a program where we talk to each other,
yeah,
share data, that we're collecting it the same way. It's kind of comparing apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's what they're proposing to do for us. I don't know if it'll be $5,000 worth of work. It'll be up to that amount.
And just bringing everybody else up to date, the meeting that we went to, you know, and it was up at their office in Delaware at Artesian, and they probably had, they have, I don't know, 8 or 9 people there and their engineers. And you know, they're poking holes into our area. And, you know, I look at our water as being our lifeblood of our community. And I don't want, you know, Artesian's offered multiple times to take over our water system or to tie in, and I don't want to be beholden to the Artesian for our water and so forth. But now they obviously, as you may know, York Building is continuing to buy property closer and closer to town, and Artesian's, you know, supplying water to York Building products and so forth and Principio Park. So they're, you know, putting wells into the ground are going to be selling water, and it's very, very close. I say very close. It's water, again, a half mile, quarter mile from our particular area. Mm-hmm. And from my understanding, our aquifers are pretty unique, what we have, and they used, back in colonial times, they used to call Charlestown water sweet water, you know, Charlestown sweet water. And I'm afraid that, you know, the almighty buck, you know, if push comes to shove, they'd sell every last drop of water that we have and then say, hey, Charlestown, you need water now. Why don't you buy your water from us? So what we're as Brian proposed, or we had discussed about them saying, hey, if we start to know, we're putting transducers into our aquifer so we can monitor the water level. And if we start to see a drop, we had suggested creating an agreement saying, hey, if we start to see a negative impact on our water, then we want you to stop withdrawing water out of our aquifer. And we'd also, and they're like, ooh, we don't like that idea. But to be honest, we're putting together language to submit to them to see if we can't come up with an agreement, because quite frankly, I think they're going to probably get some kind of permit from MDE regardless. But also taking that request to MDE to see whether or not if it was proven that there is a negative impact on our aquifer levels, that there would be some kind of trigger mechanism that they would be forced to reduce the amount of that they withdraw and so forth. But again, coming back to this particular bid for SSM, mm-hmm. I mean, the more information and knowledge that we have about what our aquifers actually look like is going to wind up being more persuasive to make a case to go ahead and say, hey, these are why we need to protect these, because, you know, our water's basically a cost. You know, we don't make a profit off it. But Artesian, again, isn't, you know, that's not their mindset. So we want to protect Charlestown. We want to protect our resources. And I think this is pretty reasonable as we continue to try to put together as much information as possible to protect our water and present it to MDE or whoever else we might need to in the future. So I'm in favor of going forward with a study. So, Lou, do you have any questions on the study or Jeff?
No,
because I'd be asking that we vote on this and get these guys engaged.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody knows my feelings about Artesian, and that is they will suck up everything they can and then sell it back to us. So, no, we do not want them near us. We need to protect what is ours.
I'm going to make a motion that we...
That's how I feel.
Okay. I'm going to... Lou, I'm going to make a motion that we accept this contract with SSM for up to $5,000. For study for the
office. I second it.
We have a motion by Commissioner Fields, a second by Commissioner Woods. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Did she say aye?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Liz.
Yes, I did.
You're put in terms of policy first.
Yeah.
What do we do? Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Next item on the agenda is an update on the our Casper Lane erosion conceptual design
plan. Don, I'd like to chat with you after the meeting tonight. I've got a minute. Don wasn't able to attend our site visit with the engineer, but Dennis was there, Richard was there, myself. I don't have anything to share on the screen. The engineer didn't come back with a new design yet, but basically what was discussed was the first design, you know, with two 50-foot long jetties sticking out into the river, just wasn't acceptable. I guess the two main reasons was, you know, worried about the view of the water, you know, the aesthetics. You know, how do you maintain something like that? And when you have these structures way out into the river, you're going to be inviting, in between the jetties, you're inviting debris, I think sand was the goal, but I think associated debris and seaweed could come with it. And, you know, the property owners along that stretch there were not too interested in that happening as well. So I think the town, remember, the town's interest right there is the sewer line, which is within a 10-foot wide easement. In front of Dennis's property, we actually saw the sewer line exposed. There's concrete. It was encased in concrete. Not sure when, but I'm guessing that was done to help keep what's in that pipe from getting into the river, and from the river getting into the pipe. I still think, you know, from a design standpoint, the best thing we can do is just try to build up the land around the sewer line, not just the two manholes, but the whole stretch, build up land. And what we were thinking was maybe as a compromise is, I mean, there's a jetty right at the end of Tasker Lane right now, a concrete wall, I'll say. I could pull it up on a map if it would help people look at it, but that concrete jetty doesn't go out into the river. It stops on land.
Right.
And you can see that it's building up sand in that corner, mm-hmm. you know, between the shoreline and the top of the jetty. So it's like, maybe we could come up with something, some kind of natural rock and plant jetty that doesn't go 50 feet out into the river. Maybe mm-hmm. it could just stay on the shoreline.
Scale down.
And maybe, you know, there's kind of like two bookend jetties right now. Maybe you put one in the middle. You know, if they're not as long, if they're shorter, and you put one in the middle, it'll build up sand along that sewer line and not create aesthetic issues, not create additional maintenance issues. I mean, that's, I think, what we're trying to go for at this point, and we'll see what we can get back.
Yeah. So what's the fellow's name? Is it Keith?
Keith Binstead.
Keith. Yeah. So he's working on issues. Yeah. He's working on a scale down, conceptual plan.
Yep.
Okay. I think we'll have it maybe in the next, I don't know.
We could have it, I'm hoping, by the next meeting.
Next meeting. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Did you get my email today, Brian?
I did, but I'll be honest, Dennis, I had a crazy day today, so I didn't read it.
It was a very crazy day. I will admit that.
I did get it. That's all I came through. Thank you.
Well, public comment will get you on that. How about that? All right.
I'm just opposed to what's.
Okay. Bring it up in public comment and let us hear what your thoughts are. Mm-hmm. And we'll get through the rest of this and then we'll get that public comment. Okay. Anything else on the Tasker Lane? That's about it for now. We'll see what comes up and then we'll. We'll hear what the public has to say about it as well. Charter amendment resolutions. I think that A few have been drafted, but again, we have to get this out for public comment as well.
And there's a resolution for each
correct.
Section of the charter proposed for amendment.
Right.
And there should be a public hearing on it. And then would we pick a date, February 22nd, for the zoning?
Yes.
We'll probably do the charter amendments at that point.
That's kind of me to piggyback.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds good to me.
It's just, I did, there was the personnel manual change that could go along with that, but I pulled it back. I didn't know if you wanted to review that now or do you want to wait?
I thought we had already.
That was tabled at the last
meeting. I thought you had already done
that. Because that first version, what's in your packet was just, I think they didn't like how it. The group didn't like how it read.
So correct.
The second proposal is just another attempt at making it read better.
What resolution is that?
Well, that's not a resolution. It's in the beginning of that section of the
okay.
That section of the personnel manual.
One right next to you. Got it.
Personnel manual.
It's this sheet.
You got it.
Yeah.
You have it, Lou?
Yes.
No.
Yep.
No.
I'll tell you what, let's table that till Renee.
Yeah.
Renee's here, yeah. And Lou has a chance to look at it.
Yeah.
And then you guys
can, I'd like to be,
you know, put that on
I think 14th.
And then, I don't know that necessarily has to go to public comment.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
That's table connection.
All right. Next item on the agenda is the election board alternate appointment. And we had, we really can't do that until it passes. Right. So part of the charter, we're looking at having an alternate for our election board, and we're adding that into the charter. But obviously, we won't be able to. The resolutions won't be able to go to an effect until after we have the public comment period, which is 20 seconds. So, go ahead, Lou.
What if we did it contingent upon? Could we do that?
We could, but I just don't. I don't know
if we.
I don't. It's not a big. I don't see it as being a big deal. I'd just rather have it being done after it's been approved or actually in the charter. I just rather keep the horses in the right order, myself.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No problem. I was just trying to get it.
I'm with you. I appreciate it.
The good news for the election board is. I think there's wording in the charter. It's not what I have up on the screen right now, but the election board can have help.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Okay. So we're going to table that then?
Yeah, until it's approved.
All right.
So bring us up to date or tell us the thoughts, Brian, on the ice splash event coming up.
Oh, yeah. So we know this is a big event, right? February 25th, Saturday. A lot of people go jumping into the river. It's like a polar bear plunge.
And what's the date of that?
Saturday, February 25th.
Yep. At what time do we go?
So like
11:30 and
1 o'clock.
11:30 they start, but they splash at 1.
Splash at 1, but registration.
Yeah.
There's a flyer up somewhere.
Yeah, it's right behind you.
There's the
yep, there it is.
11:30. Hey. Yes, I'm getting better. Just water.
All right.
Just the three things that we wanted to discuss, make sure we're all good with. The Wellwood was engaging a private company to put bathroom trailers down at the parking lot for Veterans Park,
mm-hmm.
three of them, about 10 feet wide by 30 feet long, and they're changing rooms. Mm-hmm. The issue is, you know, people come out of the river, they're freezing cold, and they need a place to change real quick. Mm-hmm. I think in the past, we've done different things. I know we've opened up the bathrooms, mm-hmm. Which doesn't provide a whole lot of space. Mm-hmm. I think the Wellwood has mm-hmm. bathroom trailers too, which doesn't provide a whole lot of space. So that was the idea being floated now. The company that would put the trailers down would need water. So our piece of that would be to basically unwinterize our bathrooms so they could tie into the hose bib right there. Mm-hmm. They could run a splitter out to all three trailers. So not only would they be changing rooms, I mean, they're bathroom trailers, they mm-hmm. functional bathrooms as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it might take us 3-4 hours of de-winterizing and then winterizing again after the vent, right? Because mm-hmm. we wouldn't be opening our bathrooms for the month of March. That's one thing, right? We want to make sure everybody was comfortable with that sort of operation. The event permit that the American Legion has to apply for from the town would include the trailers as long as they're okay with giving them water, right? And Lou and I were already talking for the event of closing down that block of Water Street from Market down to Frederick.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if the trailers were on top of the parking lot of Veterans, there wouldn't be a whole lot of parking available right in that stretch. The Wellwood is willing to let some people park in their parking lot, but that's, you know, even if they go up towards the River Shack, it's not it's a finite resource.
Mm-hmm.
So two things associated with that. The Wellwood was going to offer to run a shuttle from Avalon Park. You know, obviously there's free parking there. Mm-hmm. We were thinking
mm-hmm.
associated with that. Do we want to consider purchasing a sign or maybe renting one of those electronic signs that says like event parking, go this way?
Yes.
Just as an idea. But also that we should have some volunteers down there on behalf of the town. And I was even thinking maybe we could ask our park ranger to work that day, maybe, I don't know, 11 to 3 or something, so that we had a presence. The park ranger knows what they're doing as far as, you know, if somebody starts parking along Water Street, like, hey, you got to go down to Avalon. Here's the shuttle. But also, I think the park ranger would be able to be in charge of other volunteers, like maybe the ones that are down at Avalon Sand, you know, blacking where people right. park. It was just an idea.
Yep. I like it.
To maintain some order.
I mean, we've never had any organization at that event.
Right.
And we've always gotten by, but it's always been chaotic. Particularly for the residents, I think.
Yes.
So is everybody in favor of one, I guess, allowing them to use Veteran Park for the restrooms?
I will say this.
Trailers.
Restroom trailers. Yes, for the restroom
trailers. I'm not opposed to the park ranger coming in, like you said. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to have water and stuff, you might want to have a maintenance guy there to turn it on and off. Because once the event's over, you want to re-winterize that line. Because if it freezes the next day, you got a mess down there.
Bobby
would probably be the knows. Yeah.
He would have to work some of that day.
Yes, he'd have to be able to, yeah, because you don't want to unfreeze, you don't want to unwinterize it until you have to.
He was kind of thinking, like, we could leave our bathrooms open, too.
Right.
In addition to the bathroom.
Right, as long as you've got the toilets covered and everything, because they'll use them even though,
unless you have the water on.
Yeah.
I was thinking, turn the water on.
And yeah, okay, because in the past, they had no problem with that. People using the bathroom anyway, even though there's no water. Right.
So maybe just full open and then right. on top of it to close it.
But yeah, like I said, how long will it take them to close it? I mean, to re-winterize it. Yeah.
To unwinterize and then mm-hmm. winterize again, he said 4 hours.
Okay.
Max.
Okay, well, there you go.
And is the sheriff's department on? Are they going to have a presence down there, Lou, for that date?
Well, that's it. That's what Brian and I were talking about. And I said we'd have to bring it up at the meeting because that's another expense to us. Are we paying for these? Do you guys want to make, you know, I can put them down there, but it's an expense to us.
Is February schedule out yet?
You got no.
Well, then just schedule it.
You want me to put them down there?
Actual time period, yeah.
So dates, not a problem.
Whatever hours, and so we have, and
it's
I would
just,
we have two of them here, probably. It would be helpful.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We'll probably end up, I'll try to run them, like, back to back.
Okay.
So we'll have two. They'll overlap. Okay.
You know where you can borrow one?
I was going to ask
State has.
Cool.
Yeah, if you call Ponce up here to State Highway, he probably would loan you a sign for that day. I would think that, not that big of a deal.
Me,
I have the power now
for that sign.
Yeah.
I don't think we need a motion on any of that. I think everybody's in accord on just all those are good ideas.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, anything that keeps the flow going causes less confusion.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on Ice Splash?
Nope.
All right. The last item on the agenda is Christmas decor. Now, Commissioner Campano is not here, so I guess we're
table that.
Well, you got something?
Well, all I was going to say is that 33% discount ends in January. In February, it's like a 20% discount.
Yeah.
But
he's not here.
Yeah.
I would just have to go with the 20% discount, I guess.
All right.
There was talk about certain street like Henry's just having a consistent look throughout town.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Whatever everybody's in favor of, I'm okay with it.
All right. Well, that concludes the items on the agenda. Jeff, do you have anything you want to add before we get to public comment?
No, not at this time. No.
Lou?
No, thank you.
Yes, I just want to bring up, since the last meeting, Ms. Barker had passed, and Susan was did a lot for the town of Charlestown, and was on the Historic Commission, and was really always showed up at all the colonial events and really pride. So, we're gonna miss her, and again, we just thank her for everything that she's done for Charlestown through the years. So we'll miss her. Okay. Well, Brian, let's go into public comment.
Dan was an angel.
Donald Gibbon. You get Diane Letts.
Hey, I have a question. With the thing with the speed cameras, what do you guys do with speed bumps?
Good question.
Probably stay right where they are for the time being.
Speed cameras will cover where the speed bumps are.
The speed cameras are mobile, so they can be moved from place to place from time to time.
So can the speed bumps.
Are you talking about the mobile ones or the ones that are, you're talking about the plastic ones?
That are in the actual street. Let me think. On Astoga Street, I'm trying to think where the other speed bumps are.
I look at those speed bumps as just kind of when somebody shouts out a complaint and the rest of the residents kind of are in favor of doing it, you know, kind of like majority rules on that. And then we can go it in, take care of the problem. And then when the problem disappears, we can move it, or people are tired.
On Astoga Street, the people on both sides of the street have put barricades there. So the people have to go over the speed bump. They can't go around it anymore. So I say, take the damn thing up.
You don't like speed bumps?
Yeah. I have to walk over. Is it, who took it?
They've been gone for...
They took it down for the winter because...
They've been gone for about a month or so.
But don't put them back up in the spring.
Yeah. Let me just clarify. Okay.
Hang on, Diane. Hang on a second.
I'm in agreement with the...
Hang on a second. Just real quick.
He's going to reply to your question.
Temporary speed bumps we've put throughout town, you know, when we get complaints, majority rules, right, like Carl said. In some cases, we've decided that there's enough of a speeding problem. But we want to put in a permanent speed hump, kind of like what we have up in Cool Springs neighborhood.
Have you seen those, Diane? Mm-hmm. Have you seen the speed bumps ever in Cool Springs? Go over and check if there's speed humps.
You
should wander over. Because there has, as Brian, what Brian was getting to,
wasn't in favor of the administration.
There is a push afoot to have a permanent speed bump put down here on Conestoga, and also there's a push to put one out here on Market.
But won't just the so speed you know, cameras deal with that?
It'll help,
not really. Necessarily.
No,
I think they're just tools in the tool chest.
That's exactly right.
Well, Trinity Woods.
They're everywhere now.
Three or four?
I think there's one on Revelation.
I think total over there.
Yeah, there's one on Revelation.
Yeah.
65 mile.
Yeah. Well, and this board has approved the speed hump right there at Conestoga.
Conestoga and
right Caroline Street.
Now, or where it was?
Roughly where it was. And then up on Caroline Street.
Oh, that's where the other one was. On.
Put it down on next down the road from the beach corner. People that go to that beach.
Edgewater.
Yeah.
They fly in and out of there.
Well, nice thing. That, well,
only really, because I walk my dog.
Now we know the temporary speed bumps are aggressive. They're almost like putting a curb out there, and it makes people mad. But it's a test, right? And it's nice. We can put them down. It costs us $100 in bolts to put it down and then rip it up again, even if it's only up for 2 or 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
If we get enough majority rules from town residents along Edgewater Avenue, then we could put a temporary speed bump there and see what happens.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just things I've noticed when I walk the dog.
What we've started doing is when somebody says, hey, I think my road needs a speed bump, we say, okay, go talk to everybody on your block and see if they agree with you. And if you get majority rules, we'll put one out there. We'll try.
It's persuasive. Right? It's not some certain, but it's...
That's correct.
What else you got?
They would go into the bathrooms after they would winterized and locked. They would literally unlock them by breaking the lock. So the fact that you've got an alternate for that.
They did that.
Answer my question.
They pried the latches off. And somehow, I don't know how they did it, but they pried the latches off.
Well, they did bolt cutters.
Yeah.
I watched them do it,
right.
But I had no authority other than to tell the deputy.
Right.
Point to the person who did it.
Yes, ma'am, they did.
All right, Dennis, you're up.
I have one thing about the artesian.
Yes, sir.
You know if they drill straight, do they angle drill?
I don't know. I believe they were drilling straight, but I really don't know.
Well, oil rigs didn't.
Yeah,
they
do. I guess so.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or this living shoreline, the easement agreement has, this is in your email, Brian, so I'm going to read it. The easement agreement has specific meets and bounds for the sewer easement, and the living shoreline would be outside of the easement agreement and would interfere with our recreational enjoyment over waterfront property. The other question for my comment is, I think Keith said that these have only been in place since 2008, right?
The
new living shorelines? We haven't had any hurricanes since that has come into.
Yeah, I don't know. In Maryland, I think they've been in use since.
I think you said 2008.
Well, I think they've been used maybe since the late 90s. It became a law in the state of Maryland.
Okay.
If you want to protect your shoreline, it's got to be a living shoreline unless you can prove that conditions aren't some kind of exception to that.
Well, I think losing recreational enjoyment would.
Dennis, I think the feeling of the board at this point in time is that they're not inclined to go along with that pretty extensive project that was put forward, and really just pulling it back and just really doing what we can do to protect it. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, but I just wanted to allay your fears that some. Okay, good.
But where I was getting at about if it was okay, you say it was in law in 2008. We haven't had any hurricanes then since some of these have been put in. And we all know what happened down here at the foot log, the last storm, where it came in and moved all that loose dirt. So that's one of my concerns with all this soft material. or another hurricane comes, hopefully not.
Well, yep.
Not while
I'm here.
That's it.
Okay. When we get these new conceptual plans in, everybody will be corralled up again. And, I think we get the most momentum on this by keeping all these guys in the loop and letting them comment as we go along on it.
That's a good idea.
Who's next?
Don.
Thanks, sir.
Don Hess. Ursula, you have anything? Oh, sorry to interrupt.
I'm sorry. Remember when Isabel came through? We were in Canada when it came through and hit the coast here.
2003.
Was it three?
Yeah.
Okay.
2003 or 4, yeah.
And it was pretty bad, so I understand. I was in Canada, but I was talking to my daughter, was telling me the water was filling up the basement. Anyway. All right.
It was 3/4 of the way under my house.
Mm-hmm.
The cameras are fine. Does the state have any, can you get anything from the state as far as like going down here and coming around right at the corner of Baltimore Street, you're zipping around to the school or you're heading toward Holloway or wherever you're going. It's a really bad, I brought it up before, four-way crossing.
Yeah.
And when I come up this way and go down Baltimore Street, I stop, I pull up and look toward the school area, make sure nobody's zipping there because they zip.
Yeah,
before I make left here, turn a sharp left. Is there anything like a caution light or something we can get from the state? Because that is state road, am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So why can't the state, we can feed to them to put something up? It doesn't have to be major blinking, but something that catches your attention, slow down, stop, right turn, left turn.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that intersection at Cecil and Baltimore, and then Cecil and Market. They were highlighted as kind of the two or higher priorities, I'd say, of that walkability report right. That is produced by
MAP.
Yeah.
And that was one of the recommendations, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Something to catch your eye. And make your cameras are fine, but it isn't going to make you slow down. It's something that's going to just come at you, because I've just watched them zip around.
We always get more concerned about, because that's a pedestrian route for the kids as they get to school and so forth. When you call Ponch, why don't you talk to Ponch about that? So
didn't there used to be a flashing light there when the school was in session? There used to be a yellow light that flashed there years ago. Ian, didn't there used to be a yellow light that flashed there when the school was in session years ago?
Not since I've been here.
No. Ian's been there longer than all of us probably. And didn't there used to be a yellow light that flashed?
Yeah,
there used to be. They took them down.
The school zone, right. Unless there's three stop signs in the four, the only one coming down Baltimore Street is the only one that continues on.
Oh, okay. Now, I think it's a good idea, Ursula.
Flashing school zone right in front of my house.
But that's right in front. She's talking about.
She's talking about making a left there. Yeah, exactly. Right. I don't blame that. That's a good idea.
Baltimore Street, one coming out of Holloway Beach, one across to go around, go over to Holloway Beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a three-way stop.
From
one of the schools in that corner, where they go straight or they turn right.
Good idea.
They don't slow down. There's no slowing down. And if you stick your nose out a little too fast, it's going to get clipped real fast.
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on. I just have a question as to why we talk about getting people to do work along the shorelines. And we always end up with different people. Are we price shopping? Are we seriously looking for holding the shoreline debt back and keeping it away from the weather and the shore and the rain, wind, take people or even the town shoreline away? Can we find a contractor and stick with one that we feel is competent? I don't know that we did this thing down here. Because when you were talking about the sewer mains down at Tasker, I would suggest taking some of those sandbags and throwing them around the sewer mains down there, because now they've gotten totally washed over anyway. I don't mean to be snide. I can be, but I don't mean to. I just think that we've spent $110,000 on that project. Now we're talking about spending more. We need to zero in on somebody who can do it well. We can count on that person to do anything else we need done along shore. Zero on the only shorelines we have. The only thing that's held up over the years are those big gray rocks. Just amazing. Land is not moved, it's not gone anywhere. The rocks are there. We're talking about, and I understand where the state's coming from with all their trees and greenery, and I think that's wonderful. I think you can still do that, but you need something a little clear duty and pleasing to everybody concerned. That's all I'm going to say.
So it wouldn't be bad if we just had one person, but you know, unfortunately, we do have to put things out to bid on. For big projects like that.
Do you get in trouble if you keep picking the same person?
Well, depending on the project, you sometimes need to put it back out. You still need to put it back out to bid. But
these folks, you know, let's see where it goes. Let's see where it goes and what they come up with.
Down there, I'm just worried about what's in front of them. Yeah. I know they're worried about what's going to be in front of them. Mm-hmm. And they certainly have a right to. My only other question is, and we'll go any further, what's going to happen with what has been done at Footlog and what has been destroyed at Footlog?
And Footlog may need to be get freshened up from time to time.
Expect it will.
I mean, I think what's down there, the you know, the hardscape, or I don't call it the hardscape, but what was there put in place to hold, stop the erosion is still there and still in good shape, but you know, we take sand down to Veterans Park from time to time to replenish it, and same thing with, you know, I'd like to see when springtime comes, you know, or beginning of summer, we get some more sand, spread it out, make it look beautiful, and because guess what, storms are always going to pop up and move stuff out. It's just going to happen. Erosion, and let me tell you this, I really don't want Footlog to be nothing but hardscape gray boulders. I prefer not. But I think that you know, it'll get cleaned up come springtime, and then we can do plans until it stabilizes. Unfortunately, when it was done, it didn't have time to stabilize. But I still think you're going to have periodically when storms come up, they're going to rip the heck out of stuff.
You take all for that with
that. Yeah, and that was just timing. You know, unfortunate timing. We're in talks with that design engineer how to troubleshoot what to do next. So that's a good thing. And as far as like any other vendor, whether it be shoreline protection or porta potties, you know, I think we're cost shopping, we're talent shopping. We have lots of shoreline issues. You're right. It's not just these two spots that we've focused on yet. We got 10 more that we could look at. We are trying to find the right fit and the right solution. At Footlog, I don't think we give up on that design just yet, but we're certainly troubleshooting it. You know, what we can do to help it stay in place.
Sounds fine. It'll look good come sometime. Prosper.
Yeah, I want to bring back that information about the cemetery and the tombstones sinking down. We're having a lot of rain this winter, and it's having its effect. And, you know, I suggested a project for an Eagle Scout. And my church doesn't have a Boy Scout sponsorship. So if it did, I would get my church involved, but I'm sure, Carl, you must know some Boy Scout troop here.
Well, we had Mr. Tony. I'm sure it's Tony's. Halsey. Tony Halsey did the slave graveyard on Caroline Street. Did a nice job as the Eagle Scout project when he cleared away the brush and put the bench and so forth. But yeah, I agree with you.
Carl, I made contact.
Good.
With the scout troop leader.
Share what you have.
And it's kind of serendipitous. You know, sometimes you run into people over there at the post office.
Yeah.
And then he said to me, he said, Brian, you know, what graves over there in the cemetery need to be righted? I said, I got no idea. That sounds like a job, you know, figuring out which graves need to get fixed. Are we going to do veterans first?
Right. You
know, it's a whole survey involved. And, you know, what are we talking about? And then he said, absolutely, the scouts could help out and do some work, you know, bring some soil in and level out the graves.
We need the consent of the
grave owners. Another thing, it's private property.
But you're right, Della. There's probably there. I'm sure there is.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Yeah, we do.
So I guess the good news is that we have touched base with a Boy Scout leader.
They are willing
to discuss it, and I don't know what the next step is. Maybe
what is the scope of the work?
I don't know.
Had to walk the graveyard and find out.
I would think, and this is just, I was walking around in the, after the ceremony, Reeves over America, and I probably counted 25 at least. Mm-hmm. I'd be more inclined to think it's probably 50.
Yeah.
And once somebody figures out the proper way to address the fix,
that's the other question. We'll have to, maybe we can reach out to either Northeast Methodist or St. Mary Ann's and see what they've done for sinking tombs.
We could get some dirt brought in, right? Maybe this guy can bring dirt in.
We can have some of the.
We probably have some of yep, exactly.
Anything else, Prosper? Yeah. Okay.
Next up, we got Richard.
You always laugh. I've got a couple of thoughts, and this is just a question, but is there a trace element that's tasteless and colorless that could be imposed into our wells that you could test water that comes from artesian's wells and we would have a DNA imprint? Seems like that would be highly possible. And would be a smart way to approach if they're poaching our water.
Yeah.
There's got to be something like that.
Yeah.
And as far as the living beach or living shoreline, I shouldn't call it a beach, it's a living shoreline. It's an ecologically correct solution in a politically incorrect town. and it's overshooting the target.
What do you mean by that?
everything that's implied in that.
Never mind.
When I was at the meeting, I said, just look around the shoreline. There's nothing like this on this shoreline. All the way around. There's nothing like that. To impose something foreign isn't solving. It's meeting ecological and people that feel good's needs, but it's not solving the problem, and we got to solve the problem. There's got to be a simpler solution and more direct solution. And I just feel like maybe RFPs are going out that aren't as direct and as forthright as they should be, and we missed the target in fixing things. It's got to be a simpler way and more direct way. Thanks.
I agree with you. And that is the big thing with those, what they propose is because that beachfront from, you know, Holloway all the way down to Long Point. I mean, it doesn't look anything like that. It would totally change the character of the whole area, which we shouldn't be doing now.
And then one last thing is that we continue to have stormwater runoff issues on the Indian Queen and the Red Lion property caused by a pipe that was put in by the town. And hopefully at some point, the stormwater management plan will come to fruition. But in the meantime, some thought needs to be done to help an immediate need.
Basketball. I've suggested putting a basketball in the pipe up top.
Yeah, okay.
That would stop it.
If that would work.
And then it would just run as water runs.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah. We kind of got halted on that with Mr. McGurk, didn't we?
Well, I know he wanted to wait and see what kind of data we got back from Dewberry Engineers for the plan. But we did just get that data last week, so we can take a look at.
So we had created a
stormwater
flow. A concept of taking that water, running it all the way down to it,
right,
to the athletic field, and then putting it into the athletic field, because it's got the long trench or berm, or it's probably got
several hundred yards, I would think.
You could actually
handle a lot of water.
You know, if the steering committee of the plan is so inclined, I mean, we could run a model, because they're looking at two things. They're looking at when rain hits the ground, where it goes. But we're seeing stormwater flooding like we've never seen it before, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also going to do a model of what happens with the existing pipes that we have. Maybe even proposing a pipe where one doesn't exist now. And what would that look like? We could use that as an example, mm-hmm, right? To just stop the pipe there at Frederick Street, run it into the athletic complex,
right,
and see what
happens. Right down to the creek, right into the creek.
It was solve a lot of issues.
It absolutely
is. Do we think it's coming from Frederick Street? Do we think it's coming?
Probably from Caroline. From Caroline too,
yeah. No, behind. And I'll call it Dr. Bell's properties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And behind the store. Because I think at one point they thought that's where the water was coming, to the backyards of those three, where the three houses are. And it was to the back, and then coming down alongside of Dr. Gale's house.
Yeah.
It was coming in that way, not from Frederick Street, but from
coming in both areas.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh, is it okay?
Yeah. It is. Yep. I point down is Caroline and
I remember hearing
Louisa
before, when I think Andy and Carrie lived in their house. I think it was actually coming to the side of their house. And down into Audrey's and Richard's and coming in that way and behind Bob Gill's.
Poorly planned.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. Just I'm throwing that in there for what it's for.
Anything else, Richard?
No.
Pamela?
Well, I think Audrey was probably next.
She was.
So we're just adding to the water conversation. Audrey found the first letter to the town 15 years ago about this problem. It's been going on for 15 years. She would like to rebuild the historic corn crib on her property, but she cannot do it until the water issue is fixed. There is the obvious stormwater coming in all those directions, and there's the obvious pipe that collects water that empties immediately into her backyard coming from Andy's property, in which is the pipe that the town authorized and put in. Bobby was the one who did it. Bobby has come last summer to help us a little bit, gather the rocks and do a little bit of what we can do. We've brought in some dirt, we've planted some grass, anything to actually make our backyard look a little bit better. The erosion is causing rocks to come up, hitting the tractor blades when we mow. And she just wants her yard to be fixed. It's been 15 years.
Honestly, I don't know if it was, in hindsight, maybe not the best idea, but it happened, right? And I guess this board, the town commissioners approved its installation, right? I mean, this board could say, we don't know what will happen.
So
this board could say, let's plug it up.
Yeah, why don't we plug it up?
Right, this board can do that.
Okay.
Let's get that Dewberry. When's it coming in? It's already in.
Well, we have data that we can look at.
And float.
But if we want a model,
let's get that thing blocked off. Let's block it.
Exactly.
I do think you need to speak to Andy.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to back up his yard. Right. Exactly.
So it does cause more complications. So
you need to fix the problem at the top before you.
Do. But my point is, there's two things coming in.
Yes, there. Yes.
The top and the back.
Yes.
The point is, it'd be Andy's problem.
You're passing the buck, right? You're passing the buck. That's what you should do. Yeah.
Andy doesn't like the pipe either.
No, I know. So
he
I
might,
know.
He might be in favor of
buck. He might be in favor of that pipe. Yeah.
But certainly we would need
we do need to do we do need to get this straightened out. Yeah. We do. It's been too long.
All mine.
It looks like Tom Costanzi, do you have any comment this evening? I'm asking you to unmute.
Yeah, two things. You talked about the speed cameras, which were probably going to be a good idea. The company, have they given you any information of once these are installed, 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, is there a considerable reduction, so therefore there wouldn't be as much, you know, speeding done, which is the one of the things that you want it to do, but it'll also significantly reduce the amount of money that's also going to be coming in. So do they have any information on that?
I think if nobody speeds, there's no bill. Is that correct?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, right.
Yeah. If we had 100% perfect drivers, there'd be no charge to the town. We only get charged when somebody speeds and they pull up their license plate and take a look at it.
Tom's got a good point. These speed cameras may not be a permanent long-term solution. It gets back to the contract term, and maybe we only want a contract term of 6 months.
Well, right. there's a termination provision in that lease, which I pointed out, which needs to be. We're not signing anything with that termination provision that they have in there. We're going to make it favorable to us. Otherwise, in my book, there's no deal at all. But we need favorable termination, because for them, it's just them coming in, picking up their equipment, and see you later. But I would suggest that, you know, we're always going to have speeding problems in this town, even with these cameras. But at least we can, you know, when we get a hot spot, we can adjust. We can be flexible, which I think is kind of attractive for this system.
But I guess to answer his
question. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
With the data and stuff that you get from them, you had mentioned something about we have a number of out-of-towners that come in here, and there seems to be a problem, I guess, in collecting from them. So is there any data that says, you know, our town, you know, especially with people coming into the Wellwood and with the marinas and stuff like that, are going to be out of towners? How many of them are one-offs? And if something were to happen, we're not going to get anything from that.
There's always a chance. They don't.
Well, we don't know, right? I mean, they had put in a variable of 70% of which are not collectible or people don't pay. So certainly,
there's a risk.
You know, it's a given some people won't pay, but majority probably will. Now, locally, if you don't pay it, you could get in trouble with, you know, renewing your tags or your license when the time comes. Now, I don't know that necessarily transfers over to Delaware and or Pennsylvania, which I think is what the guy from Altman was saying, but it's not perfect, Tom, but it's, you know, like I said, it is another tool to try to get people to slow down. And
And trust me, I would be for that. And, you know, along with the movable speed bumps and stuff to try to slow down everybody coming through here. So I have no problem with it. I was just wondering if those were some of the issues that, you know, that you'd thought about, you know, so you didn't have like a preset number or thing in mind. Yeah, you're right. Zero would be the number that you're shooting for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
Second point was on the generators that you're doing.
Lou has got a comment. Go ahead, Lou, real quick.
Sorry.
Now, it's Tom, I just wanted you to realize too that even though zero would be the great number, we're also looking at, especially when the out-of-state people and all, we're not really worried about them as much as we are worried about, in your area, the people that live there. And that is where we're looking at knocking that down to almost zero, because that area there is just unforgivable, what they're doing there. So we would like to see that go down to zero. And that can be attainable. But, you know, the other places that, you know, you're talking about, like over by the Wellwood and stuff, we are going to lose some of those, but that's where they gave us the variable of 70%, you know, the 30% that we might lose. So we're trying.
I think it would be a good thing. The second thing was on your generators. I didn't hear anybody talk about the maintenance issue on them. Are they going to be run once a month? Are they going to be run every 3 months? Is there a plan in place for that?
There will be. The contractor is going to do the installation. That's, you know, we're not paying them to do that. I think we're going to do as much maintenance as
we can. It'll be our maintenance guys doing that or tasked with that, I would anticipate.
They should come on once a week or so just to run for 2 minutes. Cycling, yeah, exactly.
Exercising. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to make sure they work.
Make sure they work right.
Okay, because I know at work we do some of that, and we also have contractors that come in to do the transferred switches and all that, and we typically set them up on monthly contracts.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, Tom. I don't know if our maintenance staff can do all the maintenance associated with that, right? But when something's noticed that we need to address, we'll get the contractor to take care of it.
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure it's in the plan.
Good.
Yeah.
We'll make sure
we
come up with a
good
plan.
Good point,
yeah.
Tom. Good point.
That's
it. Thank you.
Miss Robin. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
We got a motion by Commissioner Field, second by Commissioner Woods for adjournment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much, guys. Aye. Appreciate it.